All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to wrap up our study in 1 John. Now, we've entitled this study Walking in the Light because that has been the whole concept that John has been trying to convey to you and I, is that we who are light because we belong to Christ can walk in his light in this world of darkness. What do you mean, this world of darkness? Well, this world is in darkness because it is basically against God, dominated by Satan, and you and I can live here. And so today, we're going to wrap it up. He's going to bring it all to a conclusion by conveying to you some foundational truths that you and I need to live by, that we need to act on. Some foundational truths that will help you each day if you just would grab a hold of them and understand them. And then from that, he's going to tell you one thing that you and I need to do that is actually pretty powerful. So let's take a look at this together. We're going to look at verses 18 through 21. That's the closing section of chapter 5. Here's what John writes. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who has been born of God, he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. All right, so here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to break this down into two sections. We're going to focus on one main section, which I'm going to call foundational truths. We're going to take these one by one, and we're going to try to help you to understand, especially if we're talking about walking in the light in this world of darkness. Some of these truths are very powerful for you and I to understand. So let's take a look at the first one. Look with me at what it says in verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. All right, let's stop for a moment. You're like, whoa. I don't know that I believe that, George, because didn't you just say we're sinners? Didn't you just say that we have to confess our sin? We sin ignorantly. I know that's true in my life. What in the world is John talking about here? That if I'm born of God, what does it say? We don't keep on sinning. But that's not true in my life. Is that what he means? Well, I like the way the NIV translates it. That if you've been born of God, you do not continue practicing sin. Habitual sin. So here's the point I want you to see, okay? Believers have been freed from the power of sin. Believers have been freed from the power of sin. So I want you to understand this truth, okay? When you became a believer, so before you were a believer, what did you do? What was your normal course of action as an unbeliever? You did whatever you wanted to do, right? What were you marked by? Sin. Whose power were you under the control of? Sin. Now, when you became a believer, something changed. What do you mean? Well, let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Verse 6 and 7, here's what the writer Paul writes. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For he who has died has been set free from sin. You and I, this is the first foundational truth, because you say, okay, yeah, George, I like to believe this, but I'm struggling. I keep falling to the same thing over and over, so let me encourage you. pick yourself up and go on. Proverbs says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he picks himself up. The reality is pick yourself up. Continue on. Why? The power of sin has been broken in your life. You need to have the Spirit of God come in you and help mold you to be able to say no to that. And you can. You can say no to that. How do you know that? If you read all of chapter 6, he tells you not to yield your members to sin. You have a choice not to yield your members to sin. All right, so what has that got to do with walking in the light in this world of darkness? Here's the first foundational truth that I want you to understand. If you're going to walk in this world, it's a world that is anti-God, is moving away from him, that's dominated by the prince of this world, which is Satan. This world is dominated by sin, right? Just have to turn anything on and what's there confronting you? Temptation, urging for you to move in a direction, giving you a false option. You can feel helpless, right? How am I supposed to get out of this? Here I am again, and there it is right there in front of me. You can feel what? Helpless. And thinking in your mind, listen to me, that there is no other option for you. I'm trying to tell you, there is. John is trying to say here, look at what it says there, verse 6. We know that everyone who's been born of God does not keep on sinning or does not continue practicing. It is possible to say no. It is possible for you to break the enslavement because it's already been broken. Reminds me of a story. You know, I grew up in South Carolina. A lot of my years in South Carolina, my dad was an Army guy. I was an Army brat. He was from North Carolina. Most of my years were in Columbia. I was just there recently visiting my mom. And, you know, a lot of Southern heritage and stories that are float around. And, well, there was a story, of course, we know from history that President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which basically gave freedom to slaves. So when the war was over, somebody from the North was traveling, came across a group of slaves still working for their slave owner. And he said to them, "Don't you know you're free?" "Yes." And they went back to work. The point is that the reality of the emancipation hadn't reached them yet. So they just kept going with what they normally did. See, I think with a lot of Christians, there is not a realization of the emancipation that God has brought to you. He broke the power of sin on the cross for you. You're not enslaved to that anymore. He redeemed you. He bought you from the slave market, right? You can say no. But so many of us, we choose the old taskmaster. Sin, that beats us up pretty bad, right? This is the foundational truth. If you and I are going to walk in the light in this world, you got to grasp this first one. You've been set free. You can say no. That's what's so awesome. Here's the second truth I want you to see. Again, look with me the latter part of verse 18. I was having difficulty with the wording here, but here's what it says. But he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Here's what I want you to see. God protects his children, and Satan cannot touch them. Wow, okay, so the first thing, if we're going to walk in the light, you got to understand, okay, there's that whole issue of the power of sin and don't live defeated, you can say no. Now the other one is I'm walking in this darkness, I'm walking in the light in the midst of this darkness is dominated by Satan. That can be scary, right? Well, the world would like you to be scary because all you got to do is just turn on any kind of show these days, and it's talking about, you know, got even shows about Satan that are crazy, right? That like he's walking among you and can do evil stuff. And so people get freaked out. They're more aware of what media says than they are about what Scripture says. Here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to convey to you a story about Scripture, not a story of truth. The truth is, God protects his children. God's watching over you. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't direct you into difficult situations. He's going to. But he protects you. Here's the other thing. Satan can't touch you. Let me give you two portions of Scripture to help you to understand, okay? First one is from the Gospels, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32. It's in the upper room. Peter has just made this big declaration. Jesus, I'll do anything for you. If everybody else leaves you, I'll be there for you. Jesus, I'll die for you. And here's what Jesus says to him. Look with me, verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Who's in charge here from these verses? Satan says, I want to touch him. I want to sift him like wheat. That's not a good picture, is it? And Jesus says, I've prayed for him. God's in control, right? In fact, this is not the passage I was going to go to next, but that reminds me, again, 1 John, go to chapter 2. My little children, I run unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, you have what? An advocate, someone who comes alongside, interceding for you, the propitiation for your sin. What is that? The satisfier of God's wrath, the atoning sacrifice, the one who died for you, praying for you. Now, here's the portion I wanted to share with you. That's the illustration of that. All the way over to the minor prophet in the Old Testament, Zechariah, chapter 3. Verses 1 to 5. This I found when I was studying God's word, especially when we were going through the minor prophets. I thought this is a beautiful picture, something you and I need to know. Look at what it says. It's up on the screen. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you. I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." And they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. Wow, what a beautiful picture, right? Here's Joshua the high priest. Zechariah has this vision. He's standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan is there. And of course, what is Satan? He but not the accuser of the brethren, right? The accuser of the brethren, the angel of the Lord, rebukes him. And this is what he says. "Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Folks, are you not a brand plucked from the fire? Think about that. Are you not a brand plucked from the fire? What fire, George? The eternal fire. Hell, because you came to who, folks? Christ in salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? God protects you. You are his, and Satan can't touch you unless God allow him to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But God always has a purpose in allowing that to happen. We see that from the book of Job, first two chapters. This is the foundational truth. You and I, listen to me. First one, the power of sin has been broken in your life. So what? Live like it. Second one, the enemy is not going to be able to touch you because God protects you. So live the life he calls you to live here. That's the second truth. Let's go on. Let's look at another truth, okay? I want you to notice with me, here's a truth that should be a reality for you even now. Look with me at verse 19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Here is the third truth. Believers understand their identity and the reality of this world. Now, I'd like to say, well, George, isn't that obvious? No, I find with a lot of people that it isn't obvious at all. I find with a lot of people, they don't truly understand who they are in Jesus Christ. They don't truly understand what he has redeemed them from. And here's the second one. They don't truly understand the world in which they live in. They don't truly understand where the world that they live in is going, where it's heading. They just think they're along for a ride. This is the reality. So there you are. You know that you have the ability to say no to sin. You're freed from the reality of the power of sin in your life. So live your life for him. You know that he protects you and the evil one cannot touch you. And then thirdly, when you're walking in this world, you understand this world because you understand who you are. We like to break it down into nations and parties and things like that. We like to look at the world through those lenses. This is talking about looking through the lens of reality. The reality is there are only those who know God and there are those who don't know God. The reality is that this world that we're in is headed to destruction. That's the reality that should be guiding us as we live our life, as we walk in the light, day by day. Third truth. Let's go on to the fourth one. Here's the thing. Look with me at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Here it is. Believers know that Jesus has given them understanding. You know, I'm getting ready to have a birthday here in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be the big 59. And I've been a believer now. Come April, I will be a believer in it for 40 years. 40 years of following Jesus. That seems like a long time ago. It is. But there are some things that are fresh for me still. It is fresh for me that before I came to Jesus, I had no clue. It is fresh for me that before I came to Jesus, somebody gave me a Bible, I couldn't understand it. Growing up in the South, it's very common to, I remember being in elementary school, being in the fifth grade, and they gave everybody a Gideon's Bible, New Testament. Boy, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah. They don't do that anymore. But I remember being given one, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to read this. And I got kind of hung up on the begats in one of the Gospels, and that was the end of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm like, what in the world is this? Do you understand what I'm saying? And there have been other times when I've looked at it and I didn't clue in. I didn't understand. Well, because I couldn't understand. Because understanding only comes from who? Jesus. But then I can tell you one thing. When I got saved, the whole world opened up. The whole world of understanding of God's word opened up. Little bit at a time, it opened up to the reality of who he is. Jesus is the one who gives us understanding. See, can I encourage you with that? If he's the one who gives us understanding, why aren't you asking for that understanding? James talks about asking for what? Wisdom, right? That's another truth we need to have if we're going to walk in the light. Here's the next one. Here it is. He's talking about that understanding. Again, verse 20, look at what it says there. so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. That understanding allows believers to know their relationship to him. The understanding isn't just simply so you can answer questions in Bible trivia. It isn't so that you can sound off in Sunday school when there are questions being given. It's so that you understand two things. You understand who Jesus is, and you understand the relationship that you have with him. You understand that you know that relationship with him. All right, so let me just stop. I want you to think about it for a moment. I mentioned during my prayer that as we were praying, I prayed about relationships, and I say that relationships are fragile. Would you agree with that? Our human relationships are pretty fragile, aren't they? When you think about our human relationships and how fragile they are, there are probably times when you are wondering if the other person still cares, still wanting to be involved in that relationship. But isn't there times when you feel that? Yeah, yeah. That's natural, right? Because that's because they're fragile. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. In the relationship that you as a believer that you have with God, there are times when you feel uncomfortable, but that uncomfortableness is typically because of your sin that needs to be made right with him. But you can have understanding that his love doesn't change towards you. That's the reality. You are his. This is the understanding he gives us. And that should help us as we're learning to walk in the light in this world, right? One more thing I want you to see. Look at what it says there again. We'll look at the bottom part of verse 20. That we may know him who is true. That understanding allows believers to know who Jesus Christ is. He is the one that helps you to understand that Jesus Christ isn't just some wonderful teacher, isn't just some, even for some, a pathetic figure from history who ended up on the cross, some tragic hero. No, you understand who he is, that he is, in fact, he's going to say it here in a little bit, that he's God. And that's who you have a relationship with. Isn't that awesome? Okay, so man, he gives us all these truths. What are we supposed to do with it then? Well, that's where verse 21 comes along. Let's look at verse 21. Sounds pretty simple, but I got 2 points I want to bring out of it. Here's what it is. Little children. Actually, the word again, I told you, means little born ones. Okay, little children, that's who he's referring to you and I, because we who are believers are born again, little born ones, as the old apostles, they're talking, keep yourselves from idols. Now, you understand what an idol is, right? Yeah, George, it's some kind of carved thing or some kind of gold or silver thing. No, it's a substitute for God. So here's the 2 points, okay? Number one, understanding these truths calls believers to respond. When you understand the truths of the scripture, that the power of sin has been broken in your life, when you understand the truth that you are his child and he protects you and Satan can't touch you, when you understand the truths of the relationship that you have with him, when you grasp that, that needs to result in a response from you. A reaction, an impact on the way that you live your life. See, this is the sadness that I find. The sadness I find is that for many Christians, they think just the belief thing, and I prayed that prayer thing, and I'm okay, and I'm going to be in the suite by and by, and everything's going to be okay. No, listen to me. You didn't just get saved for the sweet by and by. You got saved for life right now. now. He's calling you right now to live for him, to do something, to make a decision, to respond to him. How am I supposed to respond to him? Well, that's the second point. Here it is. Keep yourselves from anything that would become a substitute for God. And it would be easy to say, keep yourself from an idol, graven or carved. Yeah, but that's not what he's talking about here. Because in their world, if you go back to the biblical world in which they lived in, people who were worshiping idols literally thought that that idol could bring about the solution to their problems. Why do you think the Jews, who were living in an agrarian culture, worshiped Baal or Ashtaroth? Those were fertility gods. Those were rain gods because they were an agrarian culture, and they began to trust those gods to bring them the rain or bring them kids. What is it in your life that you're worshiping? Can I mention some of them, what they might be? The wallet. How big's my bank account? How good a pay am I giving from my job? If I got that, then I'm going to be okay. That's a substitute. Here's another one. Here, I find this sometimes. You know, today, after we're done here, we're going to be heading down to Indiana, where a couple of my kids live, and we're going to have three of our kids there, plus other family from Lori's family, and we're going to have a game time, and we're going to celebrate my daughter's birthday, and we're going to have a great time. But here's what I find. Can I be honest with you? Here's what I find. Sometimes we can substitute family for God in our lives. That can become our idol. Our jobs can become our idol. That somehow if I got the right job, then all this. Here's the other one, brain power. My wisdom, my understanding, my experience, that's what I rely on. How about other people? I mean, seriously, I'm just naming a few. We could spend a whole lot of time here. We don't have it, okay? Let's just spend the next 15 minutes naming the things that we could get attached to, thinking that they're going to save us and do our bidding. And we could come up with a long, long list, couldn't we? But here's what he's saying to you. He's saying because of these truths and what he's done for you, you need to respond. And the one thing he's wanting you to respond from is make sure you stay away from substitutes for God. And boy, can they creep in subtly. They can creep into your life subtly, and before you know it, you're not trusting in Jesus, you're trusting in your wallet. Before you're trusting in Jesus, you're trusting in your wisdom. Or here's the other one, the wisdom of your friends. What do you mean? When you got a problem, who do you call? I got a list of 10 people I call and ask all their different opinions and try to figure out what to do from their 10 opinions, right? But did you ask me if I prayed? Oh, well, I thought I did. This is what he's calling us to. So you say, okay, George, let's wrap this up. Where are we going with this? What's happening here? What do you want us to understand? What do you want us to see? Okay, this is where we're at. If we kind of look back at this whole book, 1 John, what has he been trying to tell us? He's been trying to convey to you from the very beginning. Remember what he said in the beginning, chapter 1? I write these things so your joy may be full. How's that going in your life? Do you have joy in your Christian life right now? You can have joy because you understand truth. What truth? That he saved you. He forgave you. He's with you. Remember chapter 2? Little children, right unto you. I already mentioned it to you. You have an advocate, one who comes alongside of you. We have also the truths as we go through 1 John where he fills us with his what? Love. Now, therefore now, what are we supposed to do? Love each other. So the issue is, to be honest with you, the joy in our life, that's whether or not that's happening in your life isn't because he hasn't provided it. It's because you haven't chosen it. You haven't accepted it. You haven't allowed it to flow through your life because you have the relationship with him. That's what he's wanting you to see. We're so worried about, oh, the world. How about get your eyes on him? That might change things. Let me pray for you.